This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
So there is a story out of Western Illinois. A 19-year-old woman from La Harpe was murdered on January 1st. The person charged with killing her is 17 years old. That's a juvenile. So we have not released the person's name. Some newspapers have released the suspect's name, even though this person is 17 years old. The name has been listed in court documents, so they have used that name. Now, a hearing will be held later this month to determine whether the suspect should be tried as an adult. But up to that point, should we be releasing the person's name? Even if he is listed in court documents, he is a juvenile.
No, it is a common practice to withhold reporting that name, even if you were to know it, until charges have been levied. And the reason for being, and it's a tried and true practice in journalism, is to have that backing of law enforcement so that when, in the event that charges are brought about, that gives you the not only the safety but maybe the obligation to report that when it's coming from police, and you have that clearance and clarity. And to basically run with this, things can change in the investigation and in the course of the action, and maybe charges are not brought about. And in that case, in this particular case, you'd have, unfortunately, potentially an innocent 17-year-old man's name exposed in a negative light.
Well, he might not be innocent, but if he is tried as a juvenile rather than an adult, you would not be using that name in your stories if he is charged as a juvenile.
Exactly.
Now it's too late if that's the route this ends up going.
And there's some history where this has happened, where those who have been names have been brought about and reported, but they're all under suspicion or speculation, and that's such a dangerous line that we're towing here. And when we're trying to be as competitive as we can be in a very challenged environment and a very challenged industry like this, we still have to abide by these strict, tried and true ethical measures, because it's something that's again and again has shown to be something that we just don't want to cross.
I was surprised. I've been following this story from afar via social media, via newspapers in the area. And I did not expect to see that name published until they had decided if they were going to try this person as an adult. So that's what I expected. And when I finally saw it published, I went, oh, I guess they're charging him as an adult. And I realized quickly that, oh, no, later they said they're still deciding that. And I said, oh, wow. So they decided to go for it and just put it out there. It's unusual to do that. It's not illegal to do that because, yeah, it is in the court documents and people could see it that way. But it's typical that we are, as journalists, we're protecting juveniles' identities. And when they, if they are charged as an adult, then we put their name out there. I covered a story in Ohio of a Craigslist killer, and he had been luring people via Craigslist to a kind of a rural area and killing people who were going to make sales. He also had someone that was a juvenile with him, and we did not publish that juvenile's name until the court decided to charge this person as an adult. So we adhered to that rule that most journalists do, is to protect the identity, even in heinous crimes, and these were quite a few people who had been killed. We decided to wait on that, and I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, so why in this, and we don't know why, I guess, these newspapers have decided to run with the name, but do you have any suspicions? Are the rules of journalism changing? Will, you talked about the tried and true rules. We live in a very different age now with so much information being disseminated through electronic means so quickly. Are the rules changing?
Perhaps, but what I do know is that toward my end of daily full-time newspaper journalism duties, I know that my coworkers and I, and then since leaving, I've learned even more so that the measure of productivity in the newsroom had shifted toward, you know, hits and clicks and so forth. And there were even undue and I think very potentially harmful quotas put up on how many clicks a reporter's story got, how many updates you posted in the day, which we could speak about and debate for an entire other program, another 8 or 9 or 10 minutes. But there was this strain and this expectation. And I think that perhaps we're seeing that this might be conducive of that, and this might be leading to this kind of potentially this behavior. It's very speculative, but that situation is there in the newsroom, and that there's that demand there too.
Yeah, all we have is speculation at this point, and I don't want to decide for these newspapers why they decided to do this, but I do want to make sure the audience understands that it's not something that we usually do. In fact, it's not something that anyone I've ever worked for has done.
Is it something you should consider doing, given the fact that, again, information is out there so quickly? If one news organization or a couple have that name, does it make you look bad if you're still saying the person has not been identified or you're just not identifying that person?
I think sometimes the audience thinks that we're holding back on information, and yeah, we typically are holding back some things for reasons, for ethical reasons. And I see people, they think it's a conspiracy against them that we're not giving them all this information we have, but usually there's a reason for it. If it's not it's not been backed up by other sources, or just because of just different ethical considerations that journalists have, we don't put this information out there. So I want people to understand that there's a reason that we don't put the name out there before they're charged as an adult. And usually, you know, you don't want juveniles' names out there because they're a kid. They're going to progress later on. They're not being charged as an adult, so they have different penalties that happen to them. And there are lots of reasons not to put their names out. But I'm guessing the newspapers, again, speculation, they probably think it's going to happen.
I wonder if part of this, too, might be as newspapers lose experienced reporters and editors, you get younger people in there who perhaps don't have the oversight that they would have had, for example, when you started in the business, Will.
Oh, absolutely. We had more bodies and more eyes and more hands on the stories. And as time progressed, I noticed some things slipping by in the cracks just because there just wasn't the manpower there. And this could be another symptom of this. But I wanted to say to that last point, I think newspapers can do the job of trying to, and they don't always do this, but I think it'd be a good practice that I see sometimes, but not often enough, is when they maybe explain toward the end of a story why a name was released or not released, mm-hmm. because it's our general policy to not report the names of minors and so on and so forth, or we not report names until the charges are released, or because we don't release the names of victims until the next of kin or immediate family members. And I think this must become maybe a more common practice in journalism on all levels, broadcast and print and publishing online as well, because there is this maybe some question about that.
I like that as a solution, because a lot of people don't understand why we do certain things that we do. And on the web, I mean, there's a lot of space.
Yes.
Right? There's plenty of space. It's not time, you know, sensitive. And we're not trying to cut things for like a television newscast, for instance. I mean, that's information that I think the audience may care about, and it helps explain where we're coming from.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.